إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, we mentioned yesterday about fulfilling the purpose of our creation, which is the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in order to enable us to do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the world and gave us control of this world. And He said, سَقَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, that I have made whatever is in the heavens and the earth, مُسَخَّر, I have made this subservient to you, I have given you control over it. Therefore, we are looking here at the primary purpose of our existence, which is the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not to be confused with or not to be understood as being restricted to the formal acts of worship as they are done in the masjid or in the haram or fasting in Ramadan or charity and so on. These are definitely acts of worship, there is no doubt about that. These are the acts of worship which are also fard on us. But worship is to do everything that we do in life with the purpose of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. That is the actual meaning of worship, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The criterion of action is the pleasure of Allah. The supremacy of action is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a person is eating his food and he is eating it with the niyat of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what happens? First of all, the food is automatically halal, meaning the haram does not become halal. It means that the person will obviously not eat haram. He will be careful with what he eats, because he wants to eat to please Allah. How can you eat something haram to please Allah? So he will make sure that what he is eating is halal. He will make sure that the money that he bought this food with is also halal, meaning that he will look at his earnings to see, are my earnings halal? Food itself may be halal, but the money with which the food is bought, which means your earnings, these may not be halal. So if the earning is haram, the food becomes haram. So his intention is, I must eat to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just by this intention, his food is halal, his earning becomes halal. He makes sure that the food and the earnings are halal. And as a result of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only fills his belly, but he gives him a reward of ibadah for eating that food. He would have eaten that food anyway, but he gets a reward for that because he ate it with this intention. A person runs his business, and in the course of this business, he is running the business is for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about that. He is running the business. He is not running it to make a profit. He is not running it to make money. He is not running it to become wealthy. He is running the business. His intention is, this business is for the pleasure of Allah. So now what does he do? A customer comes, how does he treat him? He treats him in the best possible way. He gives him more than his due. Why? Because this pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is this also good customer service? Of course. As a result of this, is he likely to get repeat custom? Yes, of course. As a result of that, will his business increase? Yes. As a result of that, will he get more profit? Yes. But that is not why he is doing it. His intention is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now what does that mean? It also means that in the course of this business, the adhan is called. While he is doing a deal, what does he do? If he was doing the business for the purpose of making money, what would he have done? He would have said, no, let us finish this deal. Thought comes, what about adhan? What about the jamaat? He said, I'll pray. I'll pray here in the business. I don't have to go across to the masjid. But if he is doing the business for the pleasure of Allah, then what does he do? As soon as adhan is called, he tells the customer to wait. He does not tell Allah to wait. He tells the customer to wait. He says, I'll just go and pray and come back. He goes and prays and comes back. Same thing, there's nothing different. He is giving precedence to the pleasure of Allah. He is not giving precedence to the making of money. Now, as a result of giving precedence to the pleasure of Allah, what happens? Does he make less money? No. He makes whatever money is written for him. He doesn't make more, he doesn't make less. Even if he did the opposite, even if he did the business with the intention of making money, and if he says, well, if Allah is not pleased, that is not my problem, na'udhu billah, he will still make whatever is written for him, he will not make more. Why do I say that? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna Rabbi yabsutur rizqa liman yasha'u wa yaqdir, walakin aktharan nasi la ya'lamun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Qul, say to them, Qul inna Rabbi, Qul, say to them, verily my Rabb, yabsutur rizqa liman yasha'u wa yaqdir. It is my Rabb who increases the provision of the people or decreases it or restricts it. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. But most people do not know. Allah did not say your provision is increased depending on how many hours a day you work. Your provision is increased depending on how many brilliant ideas you have. Your provision is increased depending on this or that. Market forces. No. Allah said, Allah increases or decreases. Allah increases by market forces. Allah increases through exchange rates. Allah increases through extra customers. Allah increases through this, through that. But who is actually increasing? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this is the whole secret of peace of mind is to understand this. Then all anxiety will go away. All insecurity will go away. To understand, Inna Rabbi yabsutu rizqa liman yasha'u yaqdir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said also that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases the rizq of a person, labaghaw fil ard, truly these people will rebel on the earth. Labaghaw fil ard, they will do baghawat on the earth. They will use this wealth in order to rebel against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will use this wealth in pursuits and in actions which are designed to anger Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See what's happening today in the world. See what's happening right here in the city. See what happens in the name of weddings. How is it that people do these things? Because they have the money. Because they have the money. وَلَكِ يُنَزِّلُوا بِقَدَرِ مَا يَشَاءُ. Allah said, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore gives people in measured quantities. So if Allah is not giving you enormous wealth, and this is a sign of the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What Allah has written for us, nobody can take. What Allah has not written for us, nobody can give. I have a series of lectures of mine called Risk, Ordained or Obtained. See that? If you understand this, then all worry goes away. Now what happens when you don't understand this? When you don't understand this, two things happen. Number one is you are constantly living in a state of anxiety. Constantly. No matter how much of wealth you have, you are always worried. This will go, that will go. I may get a loss here, I may get a loss here. So this is one thing, that you are destined, you are fated, you are condemned to live in a state of anxiety. Number two is that you become open to haram in various ways. because Shaitan will come to you, will say, take a loan here and you will get this interest rate. Put the money in this one and you will get that interest rate. Do this business. You started a hotel, you started a restaurant, business was halal. Shaitan will say, no, put a small bar in the corner there. Let the other fellow run the bar, doesn't matter. You don't have to take the money. But you will get more customers. Yeah? Ho raha nahi ho raha. So your business was halal till now. Now it became haram. And of course you will find some dollar compatible mufti to give you a fatwa to say it is not halal, it is not haram. Take him with you when you go into your khabar. Don't take the fatwa, take the mufti also. When you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seriously. Yeah? You have a business, you're doing well, alhamdulillah. And then Shaitan will come in the form of your bank manager and he will say, no, you see all this money you have got and so on, and this deposit here, deposit there, why don't you leverage it and we'll give you some more loans, right? And we'll, now all your factories and all your shops or warehouses, whatever it was, we will take this as collateral. And we will, your business now, you can set up this massive manufacturing plant, or you can set up this big mall, or you can do this or that, and you will multiply your, he'll give you this whole game plan of how to go to Jahannam very quickly. So until now, your income was all halal, alhamdulillah, you were eating halal, your children were eating halal. The car you were driving in was halal, the house you were living in is halal. But you fall into this trap. Why? Because you are living in this fantasy, you are living in this anxiety of what will happen to you. You forgot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You forgot what Allah sent you for. He didn't send you for this, he sent you for his ibadah. If you had done his ibadah, you would have had a halal income, Allah would have grown this as he wished. But you forgot that and you fell into this trap. So now what happens? Your food became haram. What you are feeding your children is haram. And measure it by the gram, I will guarantee you that you are not eating 1 gram more. If you have your bills, check them. What were you buying before you took all these loans? And what are you buying now after you have taken these loans? I can guarantee you it's not spent. You are not spending 1 rupee more. You are not spending $1 more. You are not eating 1 gram more. You are sleeping in the same bed. You are living in the same house. Even if you have 25 cars, you are sitting only in one car at a time. How many people have you seen who have got a Mercedes which is parked in the garage, they are driving around a Hyundai? Why? If you wanted to drive a Hyundai, why did you buy the Mercedes? I said, look, hai nahi. You buy the Mercedes, you put a cover on it and you keep it. Why? Because of this. This is lanat of Allah. I'm telling you seriously. This is the lanat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on your head because your income is haram. Huh? And this happened because you forgot that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Razik. Allah sent me for His worship. Let me concentrate on His worship. Meaning, that I will do my work to please Allah only. Nothing else. Please notice, I'm not saying you will not work. I'm not saying you sit in the house or go sit in the masjid and food will come to you. Food will come if Allah wants to feed you, Allah will feed you no matter what you do or don't do. That's a different issue. But I'm not saying that. Please go to work. Please have your businesses. Please go and work for whoever you want. Do absolutely the best that you can do because only Allah is Jamil, wa yuhibbul Jamal, and He likes only that which is pure. Do the best. But do it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a result of this, you will get the best. You will get the best customers, you will get the best business, you will get the most loyalty, you will get the most influence. Automatically all of this will happen because you are doing it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla. And this will keep you safe from everything haram. Because when you are doing work, whether it is business or employment, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and anyone comes with any haram suggestion, obvious answer is, sorry, I don't do this. Period. No, you will make this money. That is not my purpose. My purpose is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My purpose is not to make this much money, that much money. No. My purpose is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I remind myself and you, let us focus on the purpose of our life and let us not get distracted by shaitan, because a day will come very soon when all of this reality will become clear. And then it will be too late to return. We ask Allah to save us from that day, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us focused until we meet Him jalla jalaluhu. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.